Okay, Psalms again. The Psalms, chapter 119 this morning. We could spend a long time in chapter 119. 176 verses, longest chapter in the Bible. They all talk about the Word of God in some form or another, except verses 90, 121, 122, and 132. I think there's one more verse, didn't write it down. And Psalm 119 has 22 sections or stanzas, and each of those little sections has 8 verses. I think we know this already, and they're based on each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each stanza has 8 lines, and each one of those lines begins with a Hebrew letter that is representing in that section. I don't know how it works, because wouldn't you think that if, like, for example, verse 1, the first 8 verses is Aleph or Aleph, wouldn't you think that each first word would be the same word? Even in English. I mean, it's going to still be the same letter. I don't know. So they'd all have to start with a Hebrew A, and I see a B and a B and a T and a T and an O and a T and an I, and I don't understand it. But hey, I don't know Hebrew. I don't really care either. That's just the way it's set up to be, which is interesting. Every eight verses matches the Hebrew alphabet. That's what that Aleph and Beth and Dallas and He and Vav and Zayin, all that means. That's the Hebrew alphabet. So if you want to study Hebrew, learn that alphabet. Here you are. You know another language. It's called an acrostic, I guess, alphabetic psalm. Now, in Psalm 119, this is about the Word of God, period. But it uses these words, when it's referring in all these different verses. The words are law, testimonies, way, precepts, statutes, commandments, righteous judgments, words, and even uses the word ordinances. Which is interesting because if it's, you know, Paul uses it too, and it's not just these are not just laws. There's no law in here as far as do or don't or do or die. These are what we're told to be and told to do. So ordinances even in the Bible are not just a cut and dried law, like people say that Paul says. But I'll say this: nothing in Psalms 119 refers to concepts or messages. It's not a message from God. And you get a lot of unsaved people, a lot of Christian schools that don't want to be emphasizing the Word of God that much. They use the word principles. Well, these are biblical principles. And you know, I believe that an unsaved man or unsaved business or whatever can design their stuff on biblical principles and have a good company, because biblical principles work. But we're not taught biblical principles. We're taught about His words. And if you're just going to stick with principles, out go the words and in go the generalities and the general observations, and they don't always work. That's not what God wants us to have. Now, so I have a lot more on the website again. If you want notes, I'll give them to you. In this chapter, it tells us that the Word of God ministers to us. It works with us. And here are the verses if you want to get them later. Verse 9, it cleanses, it quickens, it strengthens, it establishes, it defends, it comforts, it instructs, it enlightens, it assures, it gives hope, it upholds, it brings peace, it gives understanding, and it delivers. Those are all the things that Psalm 119 says about God's Word. So it does all these things. Okay, so that's good. I'm sure those are marvelous verses to read. In fact, I know they are. But now, this is interesting. Look at verse 8. We're just going to fly through this thing and try to get all the chapter done today, and you can read the rest if you're really interested. Verse 8, what we have here is we have some verses that make it sound like the writer is sinless. I mean, that it's done everything he's supposed to do. Look at verse 8. I will keep thy statutes, or forsake me not utterly. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So he's going to keep the statutes. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, that's a good verse to have in there, but as we keep going here, we'll see that he says he doesn't sin against him. Look at 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. He's going to keep the law. 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Wow, that's pretty good. 56. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Look at verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He delayed not to keep them. 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. So because he's able to walk the law and do everything he's supposed to do, he's been made alive. He's quickened. And the law will do that if they're doing it. Remember, Noah was a righteous man, and who else? There are some other ones out there. Yeah. Aren't there? Noah was a righteous man. And Abraham, a bunch of guys out there that are doing all right. Now, David, but hey, wait a minute. David did mess up one time. Big one, but... Anyway, look at 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Oh yeah? Look at 102. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. And 157. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Look at 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. 160, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. So, you know, what we have here is we've got some guy that really did really well. And he tells you the benefits of God to you when you do things really well. When you obey the law, follow the law, and do your righteousness like you should do. And all this stuff about God's word is such a thrill to him. But we have, like I said last week, and I'm not trying to knock down Psalm 119, but we got to remember Psalm 119 wasn't written to us. I mean, it just wasn't written to us. It's there for a lot of things, and we'll talk about some of them. But if you get hung up in Psalm 119, you're going to be very frustrated because you can't say those things, and you're going to feel horrible about it. You're going to be very confused because here's a guy that says he can, and here's some things that we ought to do, and we don't, and we do. And then it threatens God's afflictions upon us, and we don't see them. Or if you have some affliction in your life and you want to say it's from God, you can go to Psalm 119 to prove it. Because you didn't walk his law, and we all know that the law is talking about the word of God today, but we all don't know that. The average Christian reader looks at that thing and says, see, there it is, there's the law. Yeah, take which one? Ten Commandments, the Leviticus thing? They'll go back to Psalm 119 and put the Gospels law on them, what Jesus says in the Gospels. And then they go back to 119 because it's the great long chapter, longest chapter in the book about the Bible. No, it's not about the Bible, it's about the Word of God. It's about testimonies, law, precepts, all that stuff, statutes. It's everything. And how are we doing? Let me ask you this here. Now, before we do that, I could do that because that really should come next based on the chit chat we're doing here. You know that in the Gospels, Jesus came to save people from sin, so if you followed Christ, followed Jesus, then you wouldn't sin. Right? That's how the Gospels present it. You want to follow his ways, follow his teachings, he will keep you from sinning. So when you talk to Christians today, and they say, well, yeah, Christ has come, and I no longer sin. Come on. And a lot of these people really think they don't, as far as their actions go. And then if you press them a little bit, well, yes, I know I did that the other day, but I confessed it, like it says in 1 John 1:9. I confessed them, so really, my sins are unrecorded. I just have to make sure I remember them all. Seventh-day Adventists are big on that one. But so are our guys. Everybody just thinks that Jesus came, and you follow him, and he'll take away your sin, and then you follow him, you won't sin anymore. They have no clue what Paul says about the fact that he has not imputed the sin, he's paid for the sin, he's given us his walk. Now he just asks us to walk to please him. It's a totally different concept, and people don't understand that thing. Are you hot, or is it just me? Like you, we do wear a coat and a scarf. I mean, man, why? Where? In here? Well, you wouldn't know it's cold in here or hot in here. Anyway, well, I'm hot, but that's because I'm trying to roar through all this stuff here. So, the Romans 5, chapters 5, 6, 7, 8 will actually just teach what the truth is about sin and the fact that we're not kept from sinning. He's taken the sin away. So we know that. We don't need to go into any more time-wise here this morning. Look back to verse 2. there are a number of misconceptions you can get out of Psalm 119 that'll make you a miserable Christian. For example, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Well, you could put that to somebody right there. There you go. See, your heart isn't into this thing. You haven't got your whole heart into this thing, and you're just not getting it, and you're not keeping his testimonies that well, and you're just not doing a good job. Your whole heart's not in it. What's the matter with you? And this is where you can go to do that. Well, you know, look at verse 8. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Well, have you kept his statutes? No. Well, God's forsaken you. That has to be the obvious conclusion. Logical, right? The logical conclusion was, if you're not keeping his statutes, then he'll forsake you. And people will say that all the time today, that, oh, I just haven't been reading my Bible, haven't been doing good. I wonder how far God is from me. He's right here. And he'll be, you know, crazy stuff. Look at verse 17. These are things you can pull out of Psalm 119 that are wrong. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live. Now, you can go spiritual if you want, the spiritual kingdom, but they're talking about live. He's going to live and keep thy word. So deal bountifully. In other words, if I need to be spanked, God spank me, because I want to live. I want to do right for you. Please spank me. Deal with me. And what have we learned from Paul? What does God do? If you want to drive off a cliff, he will let you drive off a cliff. He'll tell you how stupid it is to drive off a cliff and what will happen when you do drive off a cliff and what are some things to warn when you're getting close to the cliff. But when you come to that cliff, he's going to say, well, I didn't tell you. And I do believe that I mean, God has helped us in our lives physically and traveling across the country with worthless cars and stuff like that. I guess I really can't say that God does. He's God. He can step in anytime he wants. But as far as what we see in this book, we see that he's going to deal bountifully with us. He gave us the Bible. How much more bountifully can you deal with somebody when you give them every word you want them to have in print for them to study and learn how not to drag your car off a cliff? By the way, it's in here somewhere. Look at verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. He has? Now, I think they're doing pretty good out there. Half of them are running for president. Well, they haven't been rebuked yet. It's coming, but he's not done it yet. 35. There's another example. Make me go in the path of thy commandments. Hey, we know he doesn't make us do this stuff. And the second half, for therein do I delight. Do we? You know, if God made us, listen, parents, have you ever had to make your kids do something? Livy, I'll pick on you. You probably never had to make, you've been made to do anything, though. Oh, yeah, mom says, yeah, okay. When you're made to do something, do you just jump up and down? Oh, thank you for making me do that. Kaylin, during school time or during daytime, does patience make you do anything? You look at her like, can I say? Right. And have you always just been thrilled that you've been made to do that? It's okay, your dad's busy reading right now. He's not listening. I didn't ask him because I've seen it when he's made you do stuff and how happy you were to do it. You know, so he doesn't make us do this stuff. And most of the time, the stuff that we hear that we should be doing and we choose to do it because we ought to, sometimes we really do it with an attitude. You'll sweep the kitchen, but it's kind of like you're sweeping up into the couch and up in the stove and the frying pan and stuff. I'm sweeping it, okay. Well, you're not doing it with delight. So we as Christians are the same thing. Look at verse 50. Go clean your room. Oh, I would love to. I apologize for not having my room cleaner, Mom or Dad, whoever bugs you about it. Put your toys away. Oh, I was hoping somebody would make me do that. Yeah, so. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For the word has quickened me. How do you think about that a little bit? Quite often we're not thankful for being comforted in affliction. Is that affliction from God? And I'll show you here in a verse in a second. That's the next one coming. Look at verse 67. Show you something about affliction that's kind of interesting here. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So there's your teaching. This is why you're being afflicted, because you went astray. But now have I kept thy word. I'm no longer being afflicted. Now, this may be a dangerous question, but have any of you actually done right? Now, think, there must have been a time somewhere in there you did something right, and you still were afflicted. I mean, the world doesn't think much of it at all. You still received affliction. Was it from God? Because you still didn't do it right. I don't know how to do it right. I'm going to give up and close my whole book. Look at chapter. We've got to go out of the chapter for this one. I'll go one more. Go to verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, in a lot of ways, that's true. You learn from being spanked. Isn't that right, boys? I didn't think so. Let's see here. Who would dare? Jimmy, your girls have learned when you've had to deal with them disciplinely.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Good answer. My pocket is what? Oh, my pocket is blowing? Okay. Get these little squeeze jobbers, not the one with the clips, because the clips can come out in your pocket. Mark that. We're not marking this stuff in here, are we? Okay. Oh, yeah. 16:14. We still can learn, but it's not from God. These afflictions are not from God. Let me show you what I mean. Look at chapter 88. Oh, good. I didn't write down the verse. That's exciting. There it is. I think it's the whole chapter, come to think of it. But no, it's not. There was a verse. Okay, all of chapter 88 deals with afflictions, but they're not from God. Let's go to a different one. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Slow down. Okay, slow down. Well, I must have been being energized by that little LED light in my pocket down here, burning some energy into my leg. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Here we go. And it has to be from Paul to show that these afflictions aren't from God. Now, you may think this is what it means, but look at it closely. 1 Timothy 1:8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner. Okay? That's not it? Maybe 2 Timothy. I hope it's 2 Timothy 1:8. Well, good. Thank you, Marilyn. You're starting to figure out how I operate here. 2 Timothy, okay? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner. Meaning that, you know, sometimes things happen to us because we believe following Paul or following Christ the way he's to be followed. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. It isn't going to be from God. It's going to be because we are Christians. It's because we believe following Paul. It's because we follow King James Bible. It's not going to be because it's from God. And it says they're a gospel according to the power of God. Doing right will get us afflictions. But there's nowhere, does Paul say, it's going to be from God. But he allows it. And we just have to remember that, I guess, one or two choices. The affliction we're getting from times is because we're Paul-following, Bible-believing, King James people. Or you did something really stupid. And you're going to pay. And you didn't get away with it. Right?
But it isn't from God.
No. I have no idea. I'm just going to say 90% of the afflictions we get today in this modern era that we're so quiet about the Bible and stuff with is because we bought something we shouldn't have bought, we went someplace we shouldn't have gone, we said something we shouldn't have said, we didn't do something we should have done as a father, or blah, 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 and we're reaping the afflictions from all that. Or you go to this church and you lost your friends. Or whatever. But God gave us the Bible. It's all right there. And this affliction stuff is from Psalm 119 because the Jews were heavily afflicted. Oh, man. For disobeying God's statutes, God really let them have it. You think you girls have ever been punished by your father? Be glad God didn't get a hold of you thinking you're a Jew. Because he would. I mean, he just afflicted them. He afflicted them big time. I think that's why they call that a finger flick. When you do something wrong, you get a flick in the back of the head. That's afflicted. I've been afflicted. No, anyway. So back to Psalm 75. We're going quick. If you really want to learn this stuff, it's on the website. If you want to just listen. 75 of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 75. There we go. There's another one. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Well, there's times that I'm sure that we have said, boy, thanks, Lord, I needed that. But I still stand on the fact that God does not afflict us. He lets afflictions come, but he doesn't afflict. And we're supposed to give him glory in all things. I guess give him glory for the fact that you backed your car into the tree because you weren't paying attention. Or the gun. No, go there. Okay. Or things happen, you know. Give God the glory. I mean, glad it didn't kill him. Glad it didn't hurt the tree, eh? And always get another car. Yeah. But God didn't back your car into the tree because you weren't paying attention. You backed your car into the tree because you were listening to some stupid radio music thing that caused you to lose your mind and you just hit reverse and floored it. You're going to, you know. No, but the other day he was in town and I pulled up next to him and I said, I want to race to the next stoplight. And we raced. And as soon as it turned green, he didn't know, but he had it in reverse. And he piled in the seat. It wouldn't have been not God punishing you at all. It could have been your own thing, you know. I went through a stop sign, and just went through the stop sign. And the policeman was sitting right at the stop sign. Did God get me for that? No, but the courts did. It's not, we give credit or blame God for a lot of things. That according to the Bible, the only place you're going to get that is going into the Old Testament. And Psalms 119 is full of this stuff. Let's do another one or two. Look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now what false teaching can you come out of that thing? Well, it's settled in heaven, but not down here. I mean, I've heard that a million times. Yes, it's all settled up there, but down here, these are all kind of, we all just quite don't know, you know, because man's in charge of his word. Oh, right.
Is that in the kingdom of heaven? Or
just
down here?
Well, it'd be settled where he's at. I mean, you can go anywhere you want with that thing. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. What's heaven? In space heaven, or the close heaven, or the deep heaven, the sides of the north heaven? We're going to do a study in heaven pretty soon. That's pretty interesting, too. Anyway, let's do some other ones here. Let's go back to verse 7. And let me put this, I'm going to read some verses to you. If you're going to read Psalm 119, then you must be that you can accept some of these verses. And my response to this verse is, oh yeah? O-H and Y-A-H with an exclamation point if you're taking notes. Oh yeah? Look at verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Oh yeah? You've always been thrilled when you learn something out of your Bible from a sermon or whatever? Oh yeah, I just love, I've always been happy to hear it. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Okay, what is one of the problems you have a consistent problem with? And give me two verses that helps you keep from doing it. Let's see, there must be one that says, thou shalt not drink. Wrong stuff. What are the verses about alcohol? What are the verses about smoking? What are the verses about speeding backwards, erasing people in town and everything? What are some verses about that keep you from sinning? How about a verse that tells you to obey your mom and dad happily and just joyfully and just jump up and down with glee? And what happens if you don't do that? Give me some verses. You haven't hid the word in your heart that you might not sin against thee. It's a really good verse. You ever been doing something, you're about to do something wrong, like that third hamburger, and you don't remember the verse, but you remember the word? That is all I need to remember. I don't need to remember the verse or where it's at. So, as I eat that third hamburger. No, I couldn't eat three hamburgers now if I even wanted to. It's just terrible what happens when you get up there. Yeah, I tell you. Well, I can still pull that off. But it kind of goes in degrees, doesn't it? 3 to 3.5, 2. You got to have 2, so you take the bun off. That's the stage I'm at. I have the second one without the bun. That's the stage I'm at right now. White buns, especially. Yeah. Well, I've done that, too. I'll just get a double cheeseburger and just have one burger. It's a process. You girls are going to experience it someday, believe me. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies, meaning the word of God, the things that he says, also are my delight and my counselors. Let's see, should I move here? Should I buy this? Should I go there? Should I do whatever? Have you checked the Bible lately? It doesn't tell me whether I should or should not do such and such. Yes, it does. It's called understanding and wisdom. You got to get past the knowledge of the book before you're going to pull out some stuff about some wisdom in there. Should I marry this guy or not? Get out that book and find out. If it says yes, yeah, but whatever. Do we need to have kids? Just got married. Do we need to have kids these days? Well, it says that in the tribulation, you don't want to have kids. Oh, in the tribulation, no. So have a couple kids. Hey, you can always get rid of them if you have to. Man, you've been reading the paper lately. They're throwing them off bridges, sticking them in ovens. I mean, if you don't like your kids nowadays, there's ways you can get rid of them without anybody bugging you. Just claim that your parents, you learned wrong from your parents, and you were abused as a child, and you get away with doing that to your children. It's terrible. Okay, see, it was four kids, little babies. The oldest one was three, I think. Off the bridge. And then yesterday, a lady punished her children, her kid, and put him in an oven and turned it on. Oh, there's another one like that? Hey, you kids better be careful. There's a trend floating around. Paul and Luke and Nathan and Stephen, your parents wouldn't do that, so don't. That grandpa can really get into trouble here. Look at verse 51. Have we done that already? Okay, the proud have had me greatly in derision. I mean, you've had a lot of people hassle you because you go to Touche Baptist Church, you're a King James Bible believer, you're a following Paul, you learn how to follow Paul, et cetera, et cetera. And people bug you about it. Oh, that doesn't bother you because it says, yet have I not declined from my law. Of course I've continued doing right. You know, my parents are against me, my sisters are against me, my friends are against me, and I'm not going to give in. I hope you don't. But I hope you can say that. But I know somewhere along the line, we all trip up somewhere. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's just me. Look at verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Are you happy with that? You know, we all started out cute, right? There's not a baby that I don't think anybody's ever said, now that is one ugly baby. There might be a few. Who knows? There we go, yes. One of the pastor's hardest things is to look at an ugly baby, and now that is a baby. But anyway, he's made us, and yet we got to buy all the stuff to fix it and to cover it and to redo it and to rebuild it and put crowns and stuff on the little guys, and it's just oh, what's the matter with what we got? What have we done to it? We've wrecked it. We've ruined it. Sugar, get me started, right? Sugar, MSG, anyway. White flour, and you'll pick up my refrigerator right now. Go ahead. Oh, a couple more here. What's 93 say here? 93 here. I will never forget thy precepts. Yeah. How do you remember what you forgot? Because you forgot it, right? But I know I've forgotten stuff. I just don't know what it is that I've forgotten because I forgot it. But you know that Bible, it has everything in there to keep us joyful, to keep us going. We've been quickened. We've been kept clean. I mean, how can you forget that stuff? So far, I haven't forgot that stuff. All I have to say is Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Those are marvelous chapters. How about some stuff in Timothy and Corinthians? Well, I'm sure you can find some in there, too. I've forgotten some of that stuff. So how can we can't say these things here all the time. Look at 97. Oh, I love thy law. Oh, yeah, you bet. It is my meditation all the day. Now, I hope that's true. And now, here it's talking about the law. We're dead to the law. It's not an issue for us. So we can change that, oh, how I love thy Bible, the words of God. Go ahead and change that if you want. We know what you mean by that thing. But is it your meditation all the day? When you go to a doctor's office, you whip out your Bible? Or you pull up a woman's day? I don't pull up woman's day, just so you know that. Go to these doctors, I got some of the dumbest magazines in there. So whip out your Bible. What Bible? Don't you have your Bible with you? You said right here that you meditate on it all the day. You girls got Bibles in your purse when you go to school? Well, you're done to school. When you go to work and you got your Bible? Go ahead. You better lie because it's going to sound very good to your dad. Well, very good. See, man, that's not. I can tell it's not a lie. That's very true. What do you have with you? Anything when you're out in the world or out doing stuff in the world there? Well, that's a good reason. Yeah. It's not a good reason. You whack him if you try to take it. Turn their cheek and hit him. Is he the one trying to take it? Oh, okay. 104. Verse 104. Yeah, this is a good one. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Oh, yes, I do. Therefore, I hate every false way. Oh, I hate it. I hate every false... Well, some of them. Come on, I still kind of like that. I hate every false way almost. So can we say that verse right there? Well, I do hate all this stuff on TV. All this stuff. Well... Yeah, well, God can pin us down. He knows what's going on. And we really just, I hate every false way. I hate many false ways. You know? Anyway. We've got to move on here. There's more verses on that thing. We just can't say those things. This is why you get frustrated when you read this Psalm 119. And if you don't get frustrated, I think it's probably because, A, you might think you're that clear and clean. But come on. You might enjoy reading that because I like how God says things. I really do. I like how He says things about His Word and His words and precepts. That's really good. I enjoy that aspect of it. But rightly dividing the Psalms is just as important as rightly dividing the Gospels with Paul. Just as important. We don't get confused and mixed up and unhappy and miserable because we just can't do the job. God knows we can't do the job, and that's why He did the job for us and gave it to us. That's why. I mean, easy as that. Now, what I did, which is what I was going to do only, is I just read through Psalm 119 a couple times, and I started to recognize some words that were there a little more than normal or kind of stuck out as something worth looking into in the rest of Psalms 119. For example, let not. Look at verse 133. There are some really exciting things in Psalm 119 that we can still be joyed over. And one of the phrases was, let not. Okay, look at verse 133, not chapter 133, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So here this guy is praying that, Lord, I don't want any iniquity have dominion over me. Now, does that click with anything? Romans, again, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's taken care of us, so sin no longer has dominion over us. So what we see in Psalm 119, we actually see an answer to prayer. We see what this person was desiring. We have received that. Follow me? That statement, let not any iniquity have dominion over me, that's been answered to us. The problem is, in his situation, he had to have his steps ordered. He had to do right. He had to walk right. In order for iniquity to not have dominion over him. What about us today? Paul says in Romans, I think it's 5, or 6, I think it's in 6, that sin has no longer dominion over us. We choose to follow sin now. So we actually see that statement right there answered, but not the first couple verses, order my steps in thy word. That isn't how we get iniquity dealt with. See what I'm saying on that verse? A person can read that and go, yeah, order my steps in thy word, make me do right, because all this kind of stuff, he's going to afflict me if I don't, and if I do everything just right, iniquity won't have any dominion over me. It's not possible. It's been proven through all these years that you can't walk that, I mean, you could, but we won't walk that clean to where iniquity won't have dominion. Iniquity, Paul says sin is what has dominion over us, but Christ takes care of that. He takes care of that dominion. So that's answered, but answered differently. Are you getting my drift? Because we're just about done. Psalms can just make you a miserable Christian. It can make you try so hard and doing right that you can be miserable yourself. You can be miserable to be around. You're putting forth a false testimony of Christianity because that is not Christianity today. Psalm 119 is to a Jew during the Jew times, and they'll have to do it again in the tribulation because that's Jew times. But for us, Paul's gap in there is the pause that refreshes. People just don't get that. Or, we're totally wrong. Then what's it doing in the Bible? I mean, if Paul isn't where we're supposed to be at, then this section of the Bible shouldn't be there. And then, yes, God is going to afflict us. Let me ask you this. Has God always afflicted you for something you've done wrong? No? Well, that kind of gives you a clue that something's not working right here, because if He's going to afflict you and you do something wrong, you're not going to miss an opportunity. He's God. So we know Paul is where we're supposed to go, and we looked at it enough times. How many of you have asked yourself, I have two. Are we sure this Paul stuff is right? Because this is going so much against what we've been taught. You ask yourself, it's okay to ask yourself that, because we have been taught so much. We've been taught the affliction thing. We've been taught God will get you. We've been taught that we have to walk right with God, because we do that as parents. You know? Yeah, it's a very worldly Christianity, and that's not right. And yet we have all these modern churches, they're praying, P-R-E-Y on that thing, they're praying on that teaching, because they're not saying that it's wrong according to the Scriptures. They say that kind of belief is wrong because God isn't that way. Right? The Rick Warrens, all these guys. They're realizing people are tired of that kind of Christianity. Well, that kind of Christianity is wrong. But the devil has brought that up in the forefront, so where people that don't want that, they'll go to this other guy that says, yeah, that stuff is wrong, not based on Scriptures. They just say God isn't that way. Well, God is that way. He would totally afflict us because we do something wrong. It just happens to be that Christ has stepped up to the plate for us and taken the punishment himself. God hasn't changed an iota. He still is against the stuff that we do. But he's paid the penalty, so now that doesn't take place. They don't tell him that. They don't tell him it's wrong according to the Scriptures. Here's what the Bible says is right about God. They don't do that. So, yeah, the devil is using... We've had all these years of false teaching, Great Commission, and it's about Jesus. And now people are so tired of it within the churches that the devil has brought along another plan, and instead of the truth with Paul, everybody's flocking to these churches. Or these I guess they don't call themselves churches, but to these organizations that are new with God, new discoveries, new Bibles, and get away from this, because it was wrong. And it was wrong. It's just that the solution is still wrong. It's wronger. Because the solution, these new churches, are going to bring in the Antichrist, who's going to be preaching the Gospels, because those are his teachings. But they're going to change the Jesus teachings to make it livable. They won't pull out the teachings of Jesus out of the King James Bible, out of the Gospels. They'll use other Bibles, if they use Bibles at all, and they'll show that this whole thing about Jesus, well, this is Jesus, this loving, goatee-wearing Jesus is just femmy and beautiful lipstick and long flowing locks and the whole thing, and that's just not Jesus at all, and that's when he's going to show up when he comes. Do we see what's happening? It's an amazing thing to see what's happening. What's that? Oh, that's when the Antichrist shows up, yeah. And they're going to think, hey, we knew you were coming. Those King James guys are just nutty and all fruitcakes. They're not even here anymore. Where do you think they went? Anyway, boy, we just don't have time. I really think you'd find this an interesting study. Here are the other words I looked up that we may know. Meditate on the way. What way? What's the right way? It talks about, he talks here teaching. This is a good verse. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, that's very true. Have you noticed that? You are, Olivia and Caitlin, Matt is getting there, and you boys right here, and you are smarter than our teachers out there in Bible colleges, because you know the truth. You meditate on his testimonies, and they change them. So, yeah, I've always wondered about that verse. I have more understanding than all my teachers. That sounds pretty arrogant. But there it is. I look back at my teachers, and I know what they're teaching today in the churches. Boy, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but I've got better understanding of the Scriptures than those guys do, because we're looking to Paul. And that amazes me. You got to know me. That amazes me. I'm not saying that pridefully, arrogantly whatsoever. The guys that are here before me, all the way down the whole line, they don't preach this stuff. They don't understand it. And they'll bash us for doing it. Well, excuse me, but I got to pull this verse out. I got more understanding than you. Is it because of me? No, it's because I'm understanding the Bible by rightly dividing. Rightly. So, that's an amazing thing for me to look at that and think along those lines. I looked up the word quicken. Thy righteousness, he talks about his righteousness all the time in Psalms 119. Forsake, he doesn't forsake us. Mercies, this is probably a sermon in itself here. Look up the verses that it has according to his word. Things will happen according to his word. Now, if things will happen according to his word, this is why rightly dividing is so important. Things will happen today according to what word? Paul's. Things will happen today based on what Paul teaches. So yeah, that's a true statement, but we've got to understand rightly dividing. Then he says, give me understanding, deliver, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Law? The whole Bible. Do you see things now that you've never seen before? You got to rightly divide that thing. And then there's a whole bunch of things on his word in the chapter about his word. So a lot of stuff there. It's just fun. It's just fun. Talks about our soul fainting. Does our soul faint? Our soul is in total hand. Our soul is clean as can be. Soul isn't going to faint. We might. Fainting is quitting. Anyway, there you go. Psalm 119. Marvelous chapter if it's rightly divided. Dangerous chapter if it's not.